I have to admit to a guilty pleasure here, guys. It is so much fun having two of my favorite guests in the studio with us, Rick Broida with Gadgets, and also Matt Rausch. Delighted to have you here in studio with us.
Thank you so much. It's a lot of fun to be here.
It's been a long time. We've talked,
well,
of course.
We've had Matt in before, and it's always been a little bit, well, when you were at Cranes, which is when we first met,
yeah,
no problem at all.
Right.
But it was when you were on a competing station.
yes, a little bit down the dial, as they say.
A little awkward.
So we never mentioned that you were on that station, but we always had you in. You know. So now we can do that and talk about the company that you work for, which is the Engineering Society of Detroit.
Yes, the ESD is a nonprofit professional organization. It was established in 1895 by 13 engineering students at the University of Michigan.
Oh.
And today it has about 3,500 members in, as we like to say, engineering and allied technical and scientific fields. Basically, we cover everything from IT to the building trades. In fact, the building trades are really big for us, a big part of our membership, contractors. Mm-hmm. And we're involved up to our eyeballs in a lot of the green construction and green building maintenance stuff that you see going on.
And now that I've changed, because I used to be with the Society for Manufacturing Engineers,
yeah.
Right? So now we're not competing again. So
okay, that's good.
There we go.
Matt, are you still? Now, I remember the ESD from many years ago. My father and I would go down for lunch often.
Yes.
And next to the Art Institute. Is it still located at that area?
We are. Our offices are in Southfield, sort of across Civic Center Drive from the town center. But we still have a presence at the Rackham Building, as
that's
called.
A beautiful building.
Across the street. Oh, it's amazing. And when that place was really in its heyday in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, it was essentially a DAC for engineers. There was a dining hall, a bowling alley.
That's when I went in there. My dad and I were going to the late 60s. I would go in with him.
Yes. And we are actually in the process of rehabbing part of that space and having a presence down there again because we had rented out a significant part of the building to Wayne State. They're still there. Their speech and hearing programs are there. But the other half of the building, sort of the east half of the building, had been home to DAPSEP, the Detroit Area Pre-College Engineering Program for the school. Well, they moved out recently, and so that space is vacant, and we are in the process of looking at ways to refurbish that space, perhaps rent some of it out to another technical organization, and take some of it back ourselves. We're not moving the headquarters from Southfield, at least as far as I know, but we are very much interested in having a presence again in Midtown.
You mentioned schools, and I know that the ESD really has a tremendous investment in schools. First of all, being founded by students, engineering students, but also nowadays, I know you're very invested in helping kids, period.
Right. There's a huge engineering and scientific personnel shortage in this country. Mm. It's estimated we have a 700,000 engineer gap by the year 2020.
Wow.
We're either going to have to grow them or import them, one or the other. Right. And so we have several programs that try to get students interested in STEM fields to let them know that science, technology, engineering, and mathematics isn't drudgery. It's fun. It's a blast. It's creative.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We have the Future City program in which middle school students, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, design and build a model of a city set 150 years in the future. We've been sponsoring that for, I think, 19 years now. It's every January at the Suburban Collection Showplace in Novi now. And our state winner, St. John's School from Rochester, actually won the national championship this year. So we had the national champions come from Michigan for the
first
time ever.
How we missed that, guys?
You should have them in here. These kids are amazing. They really are. I remember the first time I've been emceeing back when I was with the IT report. I emceed the Future City event in January for like 5 or 6 years or so. And I remember the first time I went there, there's this little teeny sixth grader in this little teeny helium voice talking to me about molten sodium solar power systems. What was I doing in the sixth grade? Not that. You know, I can tell you that. We also have a program for high school kids that we're trying to grow. It's called Engineering Smart Michigan, in which high school kids design using architectural software and rendering. So they learn about architecture and contracting and building and green stuff. They design an energy-efficient home. And the designs that these high school kids come up with are just phenomenal. They're great.
That is fantastic. So it's kind of interesting. You personally have covered and written about the tech field in Michigan for a long time. It almost seems like now, rather than reporting about what has been or is going on, you're looking much more into the future.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I did want to mention, I am still doing a tech blog for the ESD. It's called technologycentury.com.
Oh,
that's the name
okay.
of our quarterly print magazine that we've been putting out since 1939. But I'm now doing a little bit of tech blogging there, technologycentury.com. And
we'll put a link to that, by the way, in our homepage afterwards.
Okay,
right?
Great, absolutely. So I'm still competing with Mike Brennan just a little teeny bit. So it's still fun.
It's always good.
Oh, yeah. 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 Well, I've always said I didn't want to be part of a niche that was only big enough for one guy.
Yep,
so,
that's
you know,
right.
Matt Rausch, by the way, is our guest here. Matt, as you look at some of the things that are going on around here, what really catches your fancy?
Well, Michigan has always been home to a bunch of great software companies, for one thing, that nobody knew about. There's companies like Plex in Troy that does arguably the best manufacturing software on the planet. TechSmith and Okemos doing Camtasia, another screen
capture. That's right.
Snagit.
Yeah.
We use Snagit.
Yeah, Snagit. Yeah. Right. Altair in Troy does phenomenal engineering and simulation technology. Well, we're seeing that again within the app world. A lot of the stuff that's in right here in downtown Detroit, funded by Dan Gilbert and Detroit Venture Partners, and we're seeing all sorts of really cool companies at the Madison building now.
Yes.
And that, to me, is the most exciting part about all this. I know one of my kids, I tell people I've lost my focus group because the kids have moved out of the house, but I have a 21-year-old and a 24-year-old, and they are both just out of college and making their way, but one of their high school classmates actually moved from Traverse City back home and is living in downtown Detroit and working for one of these little app development startups.
We're finding a lot of that. Matter of fact, wasn't it Are You Human? The capture substitute.
They're there.
Right.
So one of the folks we've had on the air.
Companies. Yep.
And they were one of those companies that grew up downtown Detroit. I am so excited, Rick, to see people who are, I'm going to point to you because you're younger than all the rest of the guys here, I think, probably. But, I mean, young families, first of all, young single folks going back downtown.
Yeah.
So that there is a housing shortage, I understand.
Right. Well, a lot of these, what used to be office buildings in downtown Detroit, are being converted to residential space.
Yep.
And Detroit has never really been much for dense residential. It's always
been in
downtown.
Yep. Right.
As soon as you got out of downtown, I mean, look at Brush Park, it became single family detached housing.
Right.
But now we've got, big apartment blocks like they do in Chicago and East Coast cities and places like that. So it's really exciting to see what's happening down there.
I was on the Cass Corridor area just this week at Willis and Cass, I think it was. Incredible growth down there. I mean, it was a really seedy area.
Sure.
In the late 60s, you didn't go down there without a friend and a gun. And it is so different right now.
Well,
so different.
And it's not like, people are sometimes worried about gentrification. I know there's a big controversy in San Francisco right now where the median home price has now gone over $1 million in San Francisco. But these are areas that were primarily just vacant before. It's not like they're kicking anybody out of these spaces.
In Detroit, exactly.
There was nobody there at all.
A little bit of that, but not
what
much.
I love is to see some of those beautiful older buildings, which were gorgeous, just absolutely turrets on them.
Yeah.
Like the Whitney, where they had the restaurant.
Sure,
that kind of glorious architecture is being saved on the outside and inside the rehabbing.
Well, wait till we get our mitts on the Rackham building. We want to bring that one back too.
Because
it's not a con building, but it's kind of got that vibe to it.
When you walked in here to WJR, where we are, our base station, it is an architectural jewel. We were walking out with somebody the other day and just talking about what we kind of have taken for granted.
Yeah.
Marble, Italian marble on the walls and bronze doors on the elevators.
It's
incredible.
Look up four stories and see all the balconies on story two. 2, 3, and 4, and then see the fresco
so much fun to come to a show at the Fisher. There are more and more places like that in Detroit that are being rehabbed and coming back. For me, that's really exciting, and the fact that technology is sort of making a lot of that possible makes it better.
We've been known as the Motor City. What do you think we will be known for in the future?
I hopefully a comeback city in some way, but
can we rename ourselves Phoenix?
I think we're going to continue to be known for the auto industry, but more as its brain than its bicep, I think. That's the part of the auto industry that's a little bit less cyclical, too.
And you really put your finger on it, Matt, because it's not we're trying to bring back what was there before. We're we're transforming downtown, and there's more residential than there ever was. And most of the big cities have residential that are vibrant, have to have residential.
Yeah.
We never had it before. We had big office buildings, and as you said, as soon as you got to the neighborhoods, it all became single family or small apartment buildings. Today, we've got high-rise apartment buildings.
And young people today, that's what they want. They want that sort of urban, densely packed experience.
Absolutely. Yep.
And they want shopping and nightlife, too. And that's coming back, too. Yeah, that's still lagging a little bit. But at least in the nightlife and restaurant department, it's never been a better time than downtown right now.
It certainly is. That's part of what I see as the exciting thing. So software and its development now is really becoming a major industry in downtown Detroit.
Well, sure, because the barriers to entry are so low. All you need is an idea and a couple of people who know the language. And it's not like you have to buy a drill press or a plastic extrusion machine or anything. You just got to have a computer and a brain.
And even at that, there are places where you can go and you can rent that kind of technology.
Tech Shop, in Allen Park. Downtown. That's a great place.
Absolutely fascinating. Hey, we're going to come back in just a minute, continue our conversation with Matt Rausch and Rick Breida. Get him back in here again. We're talking about some of the most important pieces of technology for them, and perhaps for you too as well.